Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are bringing you a very, very special panel discussion on one of the most overlooked factors in business success. That is the health of the leader behind the business, right, guys? And today we talk about ways to succeed in business. On the Shift Spot, we talk about how to succeed in business, but rarely do we ever talk about, you know, the person behind it. And in an eye-opening CEO survey done by the Shift Spot, it revealed that burnout, leadership struggles, and operational inefficiencies were top challenges for CEOs. The solution? A healthier CEO builds a healthier company. And today, that is what we are going to be talking about. Join us as we welcome Dr. Omar Hamada. He's a founder of Triapogee, Health and Human Performance. Ken Paskin, CEO and founder of GCE Strategic Consulting, and Scott Jagodzinski, founder of Argent Alpha, for a powerful conversation on how optimizing physical, mental, and emotional well-being creates a competitive edge in business. This episode is a must-listen for CEOs, founders, and business leaders looking to avoid burnout, improve leadership effectiveness, and scale without sacrificing themselves in the process. So here's a quick overview of our guests. Everybody, welcome to the show. First, I'm going to introduce Dr. Omar Hamada. He has spent his life devoted to helping others and teaching others how to maximize their life goals, health, and potential. Specifically, he's been involved in advancing the discussion around longevity, increasing health span through biohacking and omics, metabolomics, I'm going to let you explain those omics a little
bit.
I'm just
glad you're doing this and not me. So go on.
He's also served as a flight surgeon and diving medical officer in the U.S. Army Special Forces, the Green Berets, which we all know. And thank you so much for your service. Hamada was awarded the Bronze Star Medal for actions in combat and retired as a lieutenant colonel. So thank you for that.
Wow. Thank you.
Awesome. Scott, we also call him Jag. He's the founder of Argent Alpha and an advocate for age reversal, longevity, and personal development. A transformative CEO, Scott twice led companies to extraordinary success, one to a nine-figure exit and another from losing $1 million to $14 million in profit in 4 years. So as a co-founder and chairman of Alchemy 365, his leadership helped land the company in the Inc. 5000 at number 629 in 2019. So that was a huge, huge success for there. And then Ken Paskins is a results-oriented, decisive, and direct executive with proven success in leading organizations using the EOS operating system. He has worked in various industries, company sizes, and funding stages, helping companies get unstuck. Ken was responsible for starting the fractional integrator movement in 2016. And under his leadership, Ken has served more visionaries than any other company across 10 countries. So I know that was a mouthful. It was a lot to take in. But basically, we have three powerhouses today sharing with us the business of you and why healthy leaders build thriving companies, right? So welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Okay. So I'm going to start with you, Ken, and then we're going to kind of move through this. So there seems to be a CEO burnout epidemic. Based on your experience and the clients you work with, how common is burnout among CEOs and why do so many leaders struggle with it?
Yeah, you know, it happens more than you think. And I don't know, every time I say this, people laugh at me. I'm not originally from the South, but I don't know if you've ever heard both the chicken and the pig give at breakfast, and I'm looking at the faces, so maybe Omar has with the smell there. But the pig gives by bacon, right? The chicken gives with the egg. So the pig is the CEO. Sorry if I offended anyone. And the employees are the chicken, right? So the CEO is heavily invested in their company, right? You're putting your business on the line, your home on the line, your reputation on the line. Sometimes if it fails, there's no recovery, right? So there's no way out of it also, right? So sometimes we deal with burnout in different ways through drinking, right? By gaining weight, by neglecting our bodies, by not eating the correct way. So it does happen, quite a bit. And the unfortunate thing is when I do meet a CEO typically, and they're facing these issues. And by the way, they call me when things are really broken, not, "Hey, Ken, I'd like to talk to you about my double-digit growth, my happy employees, and my M&A venture and how great it is." They call me when they're in trouble. And one of the first things that comes out of their mouth, and you'd be surprised at this, is, "Should I scale backwards?" Right? So they actually look at their company and they get to a certain stage and they're struggling so much with that burnout and sometimes resentment and bitterness that they actually consider going backwards. And I obviously tell them not to do that. And that's a whole different discussion. But it does happen a lot more than you would think.
So we know that burnout is a real issue. Scott, I'm curious, why do you believe a leader's health is one of the most overlooked competitive advantages in business? Because I know you work with a lot of CEOs yourself. You were one. So that is something that you have an advantage that maybe not everybody does. And so I believe like we're on this precipice of like this the world coming together and the CEOs figuring out that, like, their health is actually a very big overlooked part of how their business succeeds. So, why do you believe that their health is a competitive advantage?
Well, to rewind that, I think one of the reasons they get stuck is they forget they're in charge. And I think when you forget you're in charge and you get so deep into the business, you can lose sight of the fact that you're supposed to be working on the business. So I think that's one way to frame this up to remind yourself you get to decide. And I remember I heard this line from Benjamin Hardy. He said, "The past is fluid. It either happened to you or for you. You get to decide." And so I think when you start putting these things in place and go, "Okay, so CEO, given you get to decide and you're in charge, you get to choose your health. So don't make the trade-off of, or I need to build my company or get healthy." It's all about owning your calendar. So one of the first things I talk to with guys who apply to our program is trying to get a feel for, do they own their calendar? Because the man or woman who doesn't own their calendar is always going to be chasing, they're in a fixed mindset, and they're always going to have a reason why they can't take care of themselves. So that's, I think, Ken, this is probably something you run into, is if you can get them from moving to a fixed mindset into the growth side, you got a shot. But that's one of the, if you can't fix their fixed mindset, they have to fix it. You can lead them, guide them, nurture them. And so I think that's the number one thing to look at. And then once we get on the other side of it, the thing I look at, if I had one metric, is body fat percent. If I see a CEO, and I'm talking about men here because that's what we focus on, who are at 15% or less, they're athletic, chances are they're healthy, they've reduced the top 10 causes of death dramatically, they're not inflamed, they're not in insulin resistance. These are all topics Omar can go deep on, but that's a great indicator. It doesn't mean they might still not have burnout, but we've taken all that low-hanging fruit off the table, and you can actually get at some root causes. So that's where I would look at if I was meeting with a CEO and trying to assess how to help them out to get out of the burnout stage.
So, Dr. Omar, I'm going to shift to you since he brought up all of your experience with this. But before I get into this question, give us a little bit of a background since I did not do the best job explaining your background. Tell us what you do. How do you do it? What's behind what makes you work?
Before we do, I have to interrupt. And Winter knows this about me. My biggest regret in life is not serving. So I'm passionate about thanking and appreciating people that have served our country. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Omar, for everything you've done for us.
My pleasure. Thank you for saying that, Ken. It was honestly a tremendous honor and something that I wish I was still doing. Winter, you did a great job. So don't sell yourself short. I do several different things, but for the past 15 years, I've really been focusing on a new model of healthcare. Actually, yes, since about 2010. I trained in medicine and got board certified in a couple of different fields, and just got really frustrated with the whole idea of managing chronic disease. I'm also a surgeon, so that was one of the great things is, if there's a problem, we can cut it out. And we used to say and laugh about nothing heals like cold hard steel. And it's kind of true. If there's a tumor, if there's a hernia, if there's something, we can usually cut it out and fix it. But medically, what we've done, we've moved to a process where we're just really managing chronic disease. We're not really curing it. We cure infectious disease. I mean, if you have a cold or, pneumonia or what have you, we try to cure cancer in some ways, but we manage diabetes, we manage high blood pressure, we manage renal failure, we manage. And I started getting to the point where I thought, these people are just getting sicker. They're not getting any better. And all I'm doing is giving them more and more and more medicines, more and more pills. And though we've I know we're going to get to this, but though we've increased our lifespans, particularly over the past 100 years compared to where we've been over thousands of years, we really haven't improved our health a whole lot. I mean, we've conquered infectious disease and things like that, and have some great science. But, now at 50 years of age, 60% of our country is either overweight or obese, like Jag was mentioning. And most people at 50, are taking multiple medications. They, end up in a nursing home for 20 years with bed sores and just die in bed instead of living to, let's just choose, pull a number out of the air and say, live to 100, and they are healthy the day before they die, and they just drop dead out in the garden pulling weeds or whatever. And that's how I'd rather go. So for the past 15 years, that's really what I've been working on, trying to stay the front of the wave on the cutting edge. If I hear of something happening, I do some deep research on it. If there's a technology that's come out before it even hits the market, I'm one of the first users. One of my favorite things is a WHOOP, for example. The same year it came out, I called and was like, "Hey, I want to try it out." And it's I love it. But really, just trying to help people reframe and figure out how to reverse chronic disease, how to increase their lifespan, healthspan, and how to optimize performance in multiple ways.
And Omar, just real quick, actually, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. We're at a pivotal spot too, just real quick. I've actually heard that lifespan is actually in decline, right? Where, I've got kids in their 20s and I could actually live longer than them, not longer than them, but see a higher age than they will, unfortunately, with society. Is that an accurate statement?
It is an accurate statement, but I think the COVID pandemic had a lot to do with that. We were continually increasing our lifespan in the West, and women tend to live 2 or 3 years longer than men, because one reason is men just do stupid stuff, right?
You said it, not me.
Yeah,
You
that's
said
right. That's right. But over the COVID pandemic, we began to see a regression of lifespan. So, and it was rather significant. It wasn't just a few months. It was even up to 5 years. So we're trying to figure out, is that going to reverse? I think it might improve a little bit, but I think, like Jag was referencing, as long as we are dealing with increasing levels of metabolic disease, we're seeing increased rates of cancer in younger and younger patients. We're seeing increased rates of heart and cardiovascular disease, cerebrovascular disease, renal failure. So as long as we're getting bigger and not shaming people for getting bigger, and we don't need to shame people, but I'm just saying, if we're promoting that kind of lifestyle as a nation, we're going to see a continual decrease, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you're obviously on the cutting edge science of things. So how does what you do apply to the modern day CEO?
Being a CEO is very stressful. There are a lot of balls in the air and a lot of worries about, success, not just for yourself, but for your entire company and all of your employees. One thing that I really worry about is many times we tried to get, we unfortunately silo and focus on one thing instead of trying to understand that health is multifactorial, and the healthier we are in one area, and the healthier we can be in other areas, the healthier our relationships, our companies, our selves are. So it's, for me, it's not just about physical health. It's also about intellectual health and emotional, spiritual health. Mm. And, you know, we can delve into that here in a bit if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Ken, I'm going to circle back with you now. How does a CEO's personal well-being impact key business metrics like revenue growth, employee retention, and operational efficiency?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we're talking about CEOs, but really, really great leaders and CEOs have balance, right? And I know this is something that Jag and I agree with, and seeing Omar shake his head again, I think he agrees with me as well. But, you know, and when that gets out of alignment, it affects everything, right? So one thing you know, there's a couple of things I always say to a CEO, but one thing I generally tell all of them is expect 90% out of your team in what you're willing to do. Meaning that if I show up late all the time, then how do I expect my team to be there? If I don't deliver on my commitments, how do I expect my team to do that? If I deliver poor service to my clients or partners, how do I expect my team to do differently? So if we're not taking care of ourselves and we, you know, don't have that balance, we tend to be aggressive. We tend to burn out, as we've discussed. We tend to drift to, you know, alcohol, drugs, or smoking or whatever. We're not exercising like we should. And that lack of balance affects everything. It affects your culture. It affects how you lead your team. It affects how you talk to your team, how you transact. So, and all of those things, that complex puzzle, you know, comes together and directly impacts the top line and the bottom line of your business. So having that balance is critical. And, you know, take an unhealthy CEO, right, that doesn't have that balance. And I know Jag actually agrees with this because we've had sidebar conversations, and take a very efficient, effective, healthy CEO that exercises and takes care of themselves. I guarantee you have two different cultures. You have two different outcomes and two different results. And one team, probably personalities and behavior are different, probably enjoys being led by that other individual versus the person that does not have the balance. So there is a direct correlation that I'd have to defer to the experts here, but I do see it every day in the CEOs that I work with.
And so, Jag, you said something earlier about, you know, many of the CEOs, they're working in the business, not on the business. And so for that CEO who wants to step out of the daily grind, but they feel stuck, right? Because that's what we hear on this podcast a lot. But how can prioritizing their well-being help them build a business that can run without them?
Well, I think, again, own your calendar leads to believing you're capable of learning and doing new things. That's the growth mindset. But I like the metaphor of think of your health. A lot of CEOs are treating their health like an expense and versus an investment. And again, expenses are meant to be reduced, eliminated, managed. Investments have an expectation of return. And so when you put time into your health and think of it as an investment, there is a return on the investment. If you're just treating it worse than you do an Airbnb or a rental car, it's like you've got your priorities in the wrong space. Like, we all know, especially as guys, when you might beat up on that rental car a little bit more.
Have this joke from college when we would get a rental car and we would just drive it around and like trash it. And then anytime anything happened, we'd be like, it's a rental. It's a rental. Yeah. So it's funny you use that analogy because I'm literally replaying my college days right now.
Well, I think that's what a lot of leaders do. They just treat their health like it's a rental car versus it's your number one asset.
You know,
give me an asset that's more valuable than you.
Yeah.
It's not your real estate portfolio. And so I think, again, I like to use a lot of business models, metrics, metaphors. And so when you think about an asset allocation approach to finance, it's the same with your health. This plays into Ken's comment about balance. So many CEOs are way over indexed in one asset class, their business.
Yeah.
And they need to rebalance. And if they don't, guess what? Market's correct. And they're just going to be caught and it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
I love that, Jag, actually, the balancing. And yeah, that's great.
It does catch up to you, which is going to bring us back to Dr. Omar. So Can you break down the difference between lifespan and health span and why the latter is so important?
Sure. And that's something that's been in the spotlight for the past few years. Actually, I think Peter Diamandis is the first guy I heard that spoke about it probably 10 years ago. But now I think everybody has heard of health span. Lifespan is just how long you live. Health span is how long you live healthy and functional and able to live a productive life without worrying about medications and dosing and timing and feeling bad and lack of energy and, you know, wondering if you're going to have a heart attack tomorrow. So health span is the amount of time you live healthy, essentially.
Yeah. And it's one that the CEO is not typically great at, right? Like they might live a long time, but they may not be healthy that entire time. Yeah. So if the goal is to create a healthier you, so you could be healthier for your business and live longer and enjoy life more, what are some of the misconceptions that people seem to have about longevity and what that's about?
I think, you know, some of the misconceptions are driven by our society, and that is that our value is dictated by our financial success and standing in society, our fame, you know, whatever, respect. But actually, Harvard started a study. They did a study over several decades. They started back in the late 20s, I believe, with 100 men. And it expanded to about 1,000 people that included women and children of the initial respondents. And they found that the number one predictor for longevity and success was relationships, healthy relationships. And that really blew a lot of people away because it wasn't, you know, any of the other stuff that we think it might be. So when we're looking at optimal health, you're going to make me give some of my secrets away here. There are three things. This is where Triapogee, the name, comes from. There are three primary foundations of health, physical. And we, you know, I said these just a minute ago, physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual. And each one of those has three foundational aspects to them. Like physical will be nutrition, sleep and recovery, and exercise, fitness. Emotional is primarily relational. It's related with God, myself, and others. Mm-hmm. Intellectual has to do with critical thinking ability, processing speed, and memory recollection. And we can affect each of those areas in all three areas. So there are really nine moving parts there that we can optimize and help people improve on. And as you dig deeper and deeper and deeper, it's amazing. Everything just keeps breaking into triads all the way down, just like that. So I think when we're looking at optimal health, you know, physical health is foundational. But what if you're an excellent physical specimen and you're chronically depressed and suicidal? What kind of life do you have? Or suppose those two areas are fine, but you've got dementia. You can't remember your kids' names or the faces that you see coming towards you. What kind of life do you have? So I think it's a balance, just like you guys are saying, Ken and Scott, it's a balance of all three of those aspects to provide optimal health.
And I do think that, you know, there is sort of this misconception that, you know, we hear it. We go to Lifetime Fitness. I don't know if you guys have that gym where you are, but Ken and I go there. And like we've seen these like really healthy people in spin class just like fall and they're getting carried out in a stretcher. And everybody's going, well, you know, I don't understand what happened. He was healthy as a whip. He was working out every day at the gym. He had it, you know, he was healthy, right? But that physical side is only one aspect. And often, like you talked about, there's a psychosocial side that also comes into play. It's why those things happen when you're like, well, I don't understand. How did, you know, Brad have a heart attack? He's the healthiest guy I know.
But also, we have so much focus. If you look at the internet, we have so much focus on the external physical characteristics and forget about some of the internal stuff. Scott's right. I mean, you know, if you have 15% body fat or less, that body composition as a man, that's a predictor for better health. Muscle mass and strength is another predictor. VO2 max is another predictor. I was talking with Dr. Sean O'Meara a couple of days ago, who's big on visceral fat indices. You know, some of these people that fall over, they look healthy and they've got maybe a good VO2 max, but they haven't, you know, they might have some underlying cardiovascular disease. The nice thing is we can pre-diagnose that 15 to 20 years before a heart attack. Most modern medicine, we only diagnose it when somebody's having chest pains, shortness of breath, a heart attack, then we say, oh, now you're a heart patient. We can actually, there are things that we can do to pre-diagnose heart disease 15 years, 20 years before a heart attack.
Yeah. And I'm going to just chime in here real quick and brag a little bit. So my visceral fat is a 3, and I'm very proud of that. But we also have the Garmin watches, and they give us the VO2 max. And they also give us the HRV. These things, I mean, I'm sure it's not as great as your watch, but they're really great at breaking down all of the different functions, and it'll literally tell us you need an extra 20 minutes of sleep tonight, you know, or you need less sleep tonight. And so these have been really, like, Ken and I, we get on
Garmin's fantastic. They've got great tech, and actually I'm wearing a Garmin watch too.
Yes. Let's all advertise Garmin for Garmin. I'll call them after this and ask for their money.
We'll get some sponsorships for this after. But Scott, Winter,
I wanted to jump in though on a comment on piggyback on what Omar said. This is like a call for any of your listeners who are, let's just say, over 50. So the average American spends the last 20% of their life in decline. So if you're going to live as a man to be 77 years old, that means at about 62-ish, the decline starts. And then when I start looking at the guys we meet with, the guys who come into Arjun Alpha mirror the general population. About 80% of them are in the overweight or to obese category. They might be on 1, 2, or 3 meds. A lot of them are on CPAPs. And Omar and I have talked about this a lot of times. Like, you weren't born with a Lipitor shortage. You weren't born with a CPAP shortage. You're not meant to be this way. So these are symptomatic solutions versus getting the root cause. And it's, if you just remove the fat and build the muscle, everything gets better. And then you really actually, if you still have issues, then you're going to deal with the underlying true things. So anyway, I think that's just a great wake up call. Like, you know, I'm 60. It's like, I'm that guy. I'm at the point where, am I going to be starting the decline or no? And I've opted out. I mean, I'm not opting in. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that Omar said with his the triad, I totally agree. It's like these three-legged stools just keep appearing. And it's funny, there's some high leverage things you can do. If you eat a diet, for example, of high quality whole foods, that hits probably every one of Omar's 9 factors and lifts your boat. If you move every day, high leverage. If you have positive relationships and have a gratitude practice, like, you can do like 5 things and positively impact all 9 of your legs of that stool, Omar.
Yeah.
I think when you get into, guys anyways tend to be tactic driven. Carnivore diet, CrossFit, yoga, heated this, infrared saunas, those are all awesome tactics, but if they're not linked to an overall strategy and vision, you're just playing life. You're not actually playing to win. You're not turning pro. It's more amateur status. And I don't mean that to sound derogatory. It just, it doesn't have to be that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Scott, while we're talking about this, many leaders say they don't have time, you know, like, okay, so you want me to eat the whole foods diet, but, like, you know, I don't have time to shop. I don't even know what to tell my wife to get. You know, I don't have time to go do the far infrared sauna, sit in the yoga. So how do you reframe that conversation to make it, like, help them see that it's more about the ROI and investing in their health?
Well, it's funny, sometimes just playing the question back to them. So you're telling me you have no time. And just stop and let them talk. They'll realize they're asking sort of this victim sort of themed questioning. And one of the books we love in Arjun Alpha is a book called Hero on a Mission by Donald Miller. And there's these 4 roles you can play in life: the guide, the hero, the villain, and the victim. Mm-hmm. And so many times successful business people, where they're playing the hero a lot of the times in different ways, they also can play the villain and the victim. And that kind of mindset, that kind of question line is pointing out to them, saying, you're kind of playing the victim role. You know, you give them this background, you get to write the character in your own story. You get back to what I said earlier, you get to make that choice. Mm. And so the invitation I would make to them is, why not choose to be the hero of your story? And when you make that choice, all those questions that they might ask start becoming clear. And you don't get better by seeking answers. You get better by asking better questions.
That's the truth.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
Yeah, I love that. So then now from the business perspective, we'll shift back to Ken a little bit. Ken, if that CEO does make the time for self-care, like Scott was talking about, that, you know, it's a non-negotiable, what would you consider, you know, a business habit to be for leaders who want to stay sharp and sustain long-term success?
Well, first of all, since Garmin is one of our sponsors, I'll tell you the thing I love about my Garmin, and Omar, I'd be interested in talking about this offline. It says I'm 6 years younger. So I had to actually show my kids. My oldest daughter got married this weekend, and I forgot how we got in the conversation, but I was bragging to my other daughter's fiance. It's like, look, man, I'm actually younger than I am. That's pretty cool. But for the CEOs, I mean, first of all, you got to take time to disengage. And I'll tell you, I'm not perfect at this either. So I'm going to give you the key points, right? As Winter knows, I exercise regularly. I'll do 4 hours of spin class on Sunday. So I put a lot of time into it, but I'm not very good at disengaging. So I need to get better at that. But you got to exercise. You got to eat healthy. You got to disengage. You got to focus on the big picture. And I love what Scott said earlier, invest in yourself or your portfolio. But in my opinion, and this is where both of them are probably going to disagree with me, if anything, is you got to focus on surrounding yourself with the right people first. And here's why. If I have the right people, right, then I am more free and liberated to invest in myself. I am more free and liberated to disengage. I can trust and rely on my staff doing the right things. I don't have to solve all their problems. I am not faced with burnout. So in my opinion, you know, if you surround yourself with the right people, those things become easier, right? If you surround yourself with the wrong people, then chances are you're probably drinking too much, smoking too much, not exercising, not eating right, working 18-hour days. You are never taking time off for yourself and disengaging. You're not investing in yourself. And then you're facing all these horrible problems that Omar and Scott have been sharing. So that would be my feedback.
So if they do all of those, go ahead.
I would chime in, 100% agree. I think it's why I created Arjun Alpha. And it's why I think healthcare will never be successful until they figure out the community part. You got to find the right, like us, it's just men over 50 seeking to go to the next level. And so when you have that posse, that tribe, that band of brothers, and I say like, hey, if you're not chasing taillights, you're in the wrong group. You got to have somebody ahead of you showing you how it's done. You don't get better playing tennis against a five-year-old or someone below. I mean, you have to play above your fighting weight.
Right. And
so I think when you get comfortable doing that, you just get better. So I 100% agree, Ken. I know Omar does too.
Yeah, I do. And one thing to get that goes to both to what both of you are saying, I think one of the primary determinants of our health and our future self is our mindset. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of strong mindset, but never really realized it until I joined Arjun Alpha with Scott, and he's always harping on this. And it's so true. I was reading an article from Clint Eastwood a couple of days ago, and, you know, he's in his 90s and still fairly active. And he was talking to another actor. I forgot who it was, but he said, you know, I'm over 60, but I still feel young because I'm taking Clint Eastwood's advice. And that is, don't let the old man in. Don't start playing these reels in your head that says I'm old and decrepit and I'm just going to decline. Instead, keep, like Scott's saying, keep thinking, you know, better and healthier and more, and breaking your personal records and chasing taillights. There's the mind is so important. When I was in the Army, that was the thing that kept us going, is mindset. And those who quit and fell out, it was all about mindset.
There is, I mean, this is a sidebar, but there's a new show out by David Blaine. I don't know if you remember him. He's a magician. And he's going around to all of these different countries like India, Antarctica, and he's like learning the craziest things to do that are real, i.e., eating glass, petting a cobra snake, kissing a cobra snake. That was one of them. Sticking a knife all the way down, you know, and we're sitting here watching this. This is not magic that he's doing, right? These are from tribes, from heritage, from way long ago that these like cultures do. And we're like, how in the world is he doing this? But it's mindset, right? You're eating the, I mean, sure, there is a trick, there is a tactic to eating glass without cutting your entire throat up. I think the first time he did it, he actually said he sliced his throat right up, right? Because he did not have the right mindset. But you know, you look at this and you're going, okay, yes, he did this. It's physically possible, but he had to have that mental game. And he sat there and got coached by these people before. Anyways, it's fantastic. It's fascinating. I highly encourage you check it out. But that's
Another one of our sponsors, by the way, right?
yeah.
I said David Blaine. Okay.
That's why you hear all of the, you know, this cancer patient made it and this one didn't, right? It's a lot to do with the, you know, psychological factors within that person, right?
So I don't know if you guys follow Dr. Joe Dispenza, but he's
Oh,
one
of
of
course.
the guys that on that topic, Winter. He talks about the pharmacy is all in your brain. You have all the chemicals you need. It's just,
Right.
are you able to call upon them? And
Yeah.
there was an example. I don't know if it was Dr. Joe or not, but it was a patient that had split personalities or multiple personalities. And one had, it must have been type 2 diabetes. The other personality, when she was in this one, didn't have any diabetes.
No
And
way. That's wild.
it's
That is
crazy.
crazy.
Yeah. And so
Wow.
it's this, and I just recently went through Valley fever, and it was a bummer, like 7 weeks. But I mean, my mindset was the biggest asset I leaned on. I just said, I'm coming out of this better than I went into it. And I'll give you an example. February, I didn't do any strength training at all, zero resistance training. I focused on protein, positive mindset, and I kept imagining myself. And I did in-body scans beginning of February, end of February. I added 0.9 pounds of muscle and dropped my body fat from 12.9 to 11.6%
Just by
without
visualizing it.
lifting one weight or doing any exercise whatsoever. Now, I don't recommend that as a place to start. You've got to do the work, but the point is the power of the mind is unbelievable.
Yeah, you're
So what
definitely
I heard
by
is I
love
could drop
language.
my lifetime membership and just focus on mindset and get healthier.
Hey, you're an N of one. Might give it a shot. Try
Yeah.
and see if it works.
No, I agree with you. I think mindset is a lot, right? And sometimes I get the wrong mindset, and I'm glad that I have a good spouse to remind me to fix that, right? And we do that, and I think it's easy for all of us, but I agree 1,000%. Mindset is everything.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna kind of close out here. I'm gonna go to each one of you, and we'll start with Dr. Omar. What's one personal health or business strategy you swear by that keeps you performing at your best?
You know, I'm going to have to go back to. It's always hard for me to just say one. So I may fudge a little bit here,
Okay,
Winter.
go for it.
Mindset's it. And I noticed that during the week, I'm actually going to back up and actually say sleep. Because my mindset suffers when I'm not getting enough sleep, when I'm sleep deprived. My physical strength and resilience suffers when I'm not getting enough rest and recovery, sleep. My memory and critical thinking ability suffers. My relationships suffer. So I think the foundational part of health, really, that we've got to lock down is our sleep, making sure that we're getting, and I'm horrible at this sometimes as a doctor, especially, making sure we're getting enough sleep that's consistent. So we can recover, our brains can get rid of toxins and form memories and renew neural pathways, improve brain plasticity. So, What I tell people is you've got to lock down those three foundational things of sleep, nutrition, exercise. There's no silver bullet, like what Scott was saying earlier. You can try anything else, cryo, red light, infrared. There's no silver bullet. You got to lock down the main things. And I think the foundational part of it is sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott, we'll move to you. What's one personal health or business strategy that you swear by that keeps you performing at your best?
Move from default standards to designed standards in at least one area of your life. So we have five, we call them the Alpha Five: mindset, sleep, nutrition, fitness, hydration. And I agree with what Omar said. If your sleep sucks, no, you can't optimize any other part of your life. But this whole idea of you have standards, more than likely they're default standards. And when you design standards, that means you're living intentionally. Everything else underneath that gets better.
Yeah, yeah. Ken, moving on to you.
Yeah, I hate these one things, so I'm going to cheat as well, like Omar. But, you know, one thing I constantly preach, and it's not a super secret or anything, but I will tell you, it's one thing that a lot of CEOs, and when I see CEOs, I don't mean Fortune 500 typically, but, you know, SME market, small, medium enterprises, don't really concentrate on is they make excuses for some of their staff, right? So don't ever settle. Always surround yourself with the right people. Right people are always right. Wrong people are always wrong. And that's generally where GCE and my company come into play, is fixing a lot of those problems. But the other thing is just look, I mean, and just to carry with this theme, but if you had asked me even without this theme, is exercise at least three times a week, right? And for me, it's vigorous exercise. And meaning that I love to intensely swim or bike, used to run, have a torn meniscus now, but do that intensely. And it's amazing how much more energized I am after like an intense, you know, 2, 3, 4 hour bike or swim versus doing nothing for a couple of days. I'm tired and I'm dragging and everything. So my two things, both health and personal, or health and business: right people always, and exercise vigorously, and invest in yourself.
Great. I'm going to chime in on mine. I'm a huge proponent of glass and extensive water. So I drink about 3 of these a day minimum. This is my Voss bottled water. I got like 6 of them in the house. And I also have Lipsy water, which is from North Carolina. They ship it in glass. The glass goes into my, you know, little container at the house. And so I pretty much drink all of my water without ever coming across plastic or refrigerator filters or things like that. And hydration has been a huge, huge part of my success and how I get through super busy days. I literally carry 2 or 3 of these things. I mean, people for years, like you don't see winter without this water bottle in her hand. So it's kind of become a part of me. But okay, Dr. Omar, if you could give CEOs and business owners just one piece of advice on integrating health and leadership for long-term success, what would it be?
Set the example for yourself, for your family, and for your employees, and lead not just in your business financially and, you know, with business leadership, but lead with your health as well, because ultimately, like Jag was started off saying, that's your largest investment. That's your largest, that's of your largest value, including with your employees. So lead with your health.
Yeah. Scott, what about for you? If you had one piece of advice on integrating health and leadership for long-term success, what would it be?
Yeah, related to what Omar said, I'm a big believer in how you do anything is how you do everything. And I think, Ken, you touched on that. And so you got to lead from the front. You can't delegate this. You can't hire a consultant and go, hey, go make us a healthy company. tell your VPs, hey, go implement this wellness thing that you don't, you just because you read something in one of a business rag about it. You got to lead from the top. And Ken, you touch on this. If I'm late for meetings, my people are late for meetings. I would start with a self audit and then find out those gaps, fix those gaps. And then, for example, hiring to core values. So many CEOs don't do that. And like, right people are right all the time. I mean, it's so, so true. So I'm kind of cheating too by giving you more than one answer, but I if you did, it all starts with you got to fix yourself. You can't outsource that. You got to fix yourself first.
No, I love all these extra bonus answers. It's great. It's a great conversation. Why don't you think that more CEOs are talking about this? I mean, you know, they talk about where their business is succeeding, where their business is failing, where their marriage is going well and not. Why don't they talk about their health as much, do you think?
Well, and let me add one thing, Scott, actually, before you do that. That's an interesting perspective. I'm actually taking off to Hawaii tomorrow because I'm on the board of EO here, Atlanta chapter. It's a mega chapter, so meaning we have 200 CEOs in it. And it actually made me reflect through the year of all the stuff that we do, right? We talk about AI, we talk about, you know, finances, we do talk about our spouses and everything, but I yet to come across a CEO that talks about the importance of health, right? And 200 CEOs going to Y, I'm going to be with CEOs around the globe that sit on their boards. So I think that's an interesting perspective. I want to interrupt and then let the pros answer that question.
Well, so I'm a startup growth guy. I'm not a publicly traded company guy. So I've always operated in an environment where we did what we thought was right for the business and we didn't worry about legal or HR.
Yeah.
So with that as context, I think the reason this doesn't happen is there's this do not cross this line. We've normalized obesity and overweight. Car insurance, your driving record affects your premiums. In healthcare, there's no skin in the game. You can live however you want. You pay the same premiums. And I think until that's addressed and you take out the legal, we can't say this, those types of things, because I think a lot of CEOs would have really good intentions, but it gets all of a sudden put into the, we can't say that to somebody. We can't hire someone because of X. And I think that just takes the whole an authentic conversation about health and wellness. It just takes it off the table. I'll give you an example. I've owned a few gyms over the years. And I remember sitting outside once just watching people walking in. And you'd see people walk up, scan their card, get back and go into their car and drive away because that counted as a visit. And I think at the time they needed 8 visits a month to get the credit on their health care. And you go, this is just BS. This is
wow.
And so, again, that, I don't think that's uncommon. I think that's, again, these gaming the system. Anyway, so that's my probably politically incorrect, but I don't care. To me, it's a big part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like this is something that comes at, like I said, such a great time because I think we need to be talking about this. I think CEOs need to be talking about it. Ken's parents were here this weekend and his dad, who's 83, said, you know, they go to the Elks Club in Indiana. And he said, you know, 40 years ago, we were sitting around the Elks Club drinking and talking about girls. And now we sit around the Elks Club, we drink water, and we talk about our health issues. And I really feel like if we could get in front of that, the conversation at the Elks table could be different, right? And if we could get in front of it for all of these CEOs who are doing so many wonderful things in this world, we need them to be healthy. We need these people doing their secret sauce and their magic and their specialness out there. We need them to be healthy. So I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to bring this subject to light, to talk about this and share so openly about what, you know, entrepreneurs in general can do to really try to make the most of their life, people in general, but to make the most in their life. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
Okay. And so I will close out with this. We'll start with you, Omar. If somebody wanted to take the next steps with you, what should they do?
Two ways. You can find me on social media, almost any platform, Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, Threads, or our website will be up here in the next week. Oh, and it's triapogee.com. And it has a dash between the TRI, and apogee, apogee like a comet.
And we'll make sure to put that in the description too for you.
Great. Thank you.
Jag?
Yeah, you can go to argentalpha.com, argentalpha.com. And I'm on a couple of different social channels, but LinkedIn is my main one. So if, if you Google Scott or Google search Scott Jagosinski in LinkedIn, I'd love to connect with you.
Okay. And Ken, our sponsor of the Shift Spotlight podcast, how can people reach you?
Yeah. So, you can Google me as well, and you'll find all my different channels. But I actually love connecting with people personally. So if you want to shoot me an email, ken@gcestrategicconsulting.com, happy to respond to your email. And I'm going to even give my phone number, right? So my number is 303-807-3618. I love chatting with CEOs about some of the challenges they're having and finding ways that I can add value.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was an incredible panel, and I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to talk about why healthy leaders build thriving companies today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.